Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In the beginning of his second meditation, from his Meditations on First Philosophy, René Descartes is going to focus on the human being in what he takes to be its most essential nature. That is, as a being that thinks, or rather as a being whose very nature is to be thinking. This is often talked about in terms of a famous formula which shows up in other works, cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. Descartes is actually not using that formula here. Rather, he is saying, I am, therefore I exist, or I have being, therefore I exist. But he's connecting it together with thinking in some very important and interesting ways. So we can talk here about the cogito, understanding that it's sort of a shorthand for the space of the thinking being. And actually, space is a little bit of a metaphorical term here because it's not extended in space. So Descartes begins by considering this problem of deception. Perhaps I am deceived by some evil genie or some evil demon, some genius who devotes all of his resources to deceiving me. I still can't be deceived about everything, because insofar as I am deceived, there has to be a me to be deceived. So one of the things that I cannot be successfully deceived about, and which I can doubt in the sense of like saying I'm doubting this, but as soon as I start looking at it closely, I realize I can't actually doubt this, is my own existence, my own being and existence. And Descartes does, in fact, use this formula several times. You know, je suis, j'existe. I am, I exist. Whether there's a difference between the two of them, it's not quite clear in the text itself. But he is affirming I exist. There's a sort of reflexivity to it. I cannot successfully doubt my own existence, even if somebody's trying to fool me about that. So that's great. I exist. I have this sort of reflexive relation to myself. But what am I? And he says, well, I'm a man, an homme, right? A human being. And I've been told that I'm a rational animal. That's the sort of traditional conception of human being that philosophers have often given. But do those really help me? He says, no, because I don't actually know what being a man or a human being is. And if I was going to say I'm a rational animal, an animal raisonnable, he says, that wouldn't help, because then I would have to figure out what is an animal and what is reasonable. And from one question, we fall imperceivably into an infinity of others, even more difficult and tangled up together, embarrassé in the French. And I don't want to use my time on that. Is there any other way, he asks, that I can figure out what the hell I am? What this being that does have existence is? And he starts thinking about all the different things that he, up until this time, has thought belong to him. And he considers, you know, bodily matters, but eventually he settles on thinking. And he says, thinking, that is something that's really essential to me. That is a attribute that really belongs to me, that is proper to me. So what this allows us to say is, I'm a thing that thinks. That's the very nature of what it is to be me. He says, this is the only thing that cannot be detached from me. Je suis, j'existe. I am, I exist. That is certain. And now he brings up a very interesting side note. How long is that actually certain? Well, so long as I'm thinking about it. And there's a lot of jokes out there where Descartes walks into a bar and somebody says, "Do you want a glass of water?" And he says, "I think not." And then poof, he vanishes out of existence. And those are, you know, great as jokes, but as far as understanding Descartes' philosophy, they're totally off base. Because even to say, "I think not," is to be thinking. It's to have some sort of conception going on, as we're going to see. There are many different modes of thought. But if he says, if I were to stop thinking, perhaps I would leave existence. He says, this is a possibility. If I ceased thinking, then I would at the very same time cease to be or to exist. But he says, I can't at this point admit that this isn't necessarily true. So I am a thing that thinks. What is that then? That is, he says, that is to say, a mind, an esprit, right? Or you can say spirit if you like. And then he says, an intellect or reason, un entendement ou raison, right? And he says, these are the terms whose signification was before unknown. So he says, okay, so I'm a thing that is true and is truly existing, but what thing? And he says, well, I've said it, a thing that thinks. And what else? Now here's where we get to something very important, oftentimes left out. For Descartes, as for everybody within the Cartesian tradition that follows him, thinking is not something that is simply reducible to one mode of thought. As a matter of fact, pretty much all the stuff that we do involves thinking in one way or another. He also adds something before we look at that that's quite important. He talks about how it is that I have a concept, a notion in French, word we can translate as notion as well, and also knowledge, connaissance. Now, that's not savoir, right? That's knowing, you could say by acquaintance, knowing intimately in this way, myself. I know my thoughts. I've been with my thoughts. My thoughts are myself. So then, a little bit later, he asks, great, so what is it that I am? I'm a thing that thinks. But what is a thing that thinks? And here he starts to enumerate the different modes of thinking that he knows that he engages in, and we as the reader can say, yes, I engage in those as well. This describes me. A thing that thinks is a thing that doubts. So even in doubting, he exists. Even in doubting, he is thinking, right? That is the essence of who he is. Something that conceives, something that affirms, something that denies, something, now notice the shift that we're making here, those were all more or less cognitive. Now we arrive at something that we could say is volitional or conative. And here we have something that wills and that wills not, right? Or wills against. In the Latin, it's volens and nolens. And nolere means to will against something else. The French translation has doesn't will, but that's not quite strong enough. It wills against that thing. It says no to it. And then we also have imagines. Now we're in the realm of the senses. And feels. Something that has emotions. Descartes will consider emotions to be modes of thought. Something that is an idea that is often at odds with the way that we look at it today. And so all of these things, he says, belong to my nature. And he goes into some thinking about, you know, how these fit into things, and he says, do I actually do these? And he gives examples. He says, I imagine things all the time, don't I? And I feel things. I feel sensations. I feel emotions. I doubt whether I'm here in the room right now. And we could go on and on with each of these examples, as he does in Meditation 2, in thinking about the different modes of thought that are essential to our existence as thinking things or thinking substance. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.